I just want to disagree a little bit, because sometimes too many facts dilutes the anger.
The story.
And you want to make him angry, because the thing that's going to follow the complaint, what's going to happen the day after the complaint gets filed? Anybody know?
You're going to have an emergency hearing.
Because you're going to ask for a temporary restraining order ordering the immediate turnover of the car. That's what's coming next. And you want an angry judge. I mean, I actually had one of these filed before me, not about a car, where I froze $100 million of cash in somebody's account. I was so angry without ever letting the other side answer. You can get the judge angry enough if you do this right. Do it right and make him angry. Include, you have to include essential facts, and you have to include essential facts that are against you. I agree with all of that. But you have to do it with the story.
Remember where you are in the process. This has been your opportunity to tell your story with either no time or very little time for the other side's story to be told. It will get told, but you're going to get your emergency hearing with having Isger having read that complaint, stewed on it overnight, called Jones to ask him what to do, and getting ready for the hearing.
Okay, well, if you're going to be filing a complaint, you definitely need to look at the local rules. And we have got several slides up here, and they're in your handouts as well, as far as what local rules in each of the different districts in Texas. Just to summarize, these local rules go anywhere from how the style's going to look, if you've got pretrial procedures, make sure to look at the website of the judge to make sure that you've got the right pretrial procedures, what has to be actually in the adversary. Eastern District of Texas says it's got to be the complaint or notice of removal, a cover sheet, which is on the court's website, the summons for each defendant. It's also got information as far as the Western District of Texas actually has employs their local rule 9013 and 9014, which basically says 9013 is the motions, form, and service, and 9013 is the motions, forms, and service. 9014 is the contested matters, which actually they employ 21-day negative notice. So if you put 21-day negative notice in your adversary and the other the respondent doesn't respond, then you're going to get your relief granted without even possibly a hearing. So I've got a lot of slides, but the short of it is you need to really look at your local rules to make sure you're following all the local rules as far as what the court requires for the adversary.
Can I ask a quick question? Who hasn't actually drafted and filed a lawsuit? Everybody's filed at least one complaint. So we got no harm in saying no. Got it. Is this helpful?
I think it's extremely helpful. I'd like to know the judge's position on awarding attorney's fees in this type of proceeding, in this adversarial proceeding, if the debtor does prevail and is granted the turnover.
Yep, keep your timesheet. And one thing that I would have asked the client was I was going to tell her that she needs to keep records of the expenses that she has, Ubering, getting friends to take her in, how she's getting to and from what she needs to do. Keep good receipts and keep them so that we can produce them at the hearing for the judge and get awarded those damages and attorney's fees.
That's so important to keep all those, because you need to prove your damages. So that's really, really, really good advice. I mean, how many people think when you file the right complaint here that at some point under some conditions you're not going to get your car back, right? You're going to get your car back. The question is how much you have to pay to get it back. But the odds of the lender not eventually turning over the car are pretty low. Was that for a cookie or for a microphone?
Sorry. This is a question more, I guess, for the judges. My reading of Fulton now is that you aren't entitled now to attorney's fees. If you file an adversary and lender says, no, I'm not giving it back to you, you file a complaint, now that has to be for turnover. you're not going to get any fees until the lender says, yep, I got your court turnout, your order from the court, but I'm not paying any fees before
that. We'll get into that later, but that's not what Fulton says. Nothing in Fulton limits, if you read the turnover provision, the turnover says the lender shall turn it over, right? Maybe you don't even need to make the demand, because maybe their shall became, remember that wasn't sued for in Fulton. Maybe that was effective with the petition. But certainly once you send the demand letter, they have a duty to turn it over under the statute. And that duty doesn't arise with the court order. The court order is enforcing the duty. So I'm not sure that I agree with that conclusion.
Jeff. This is a car situation, but I've had situations where they actually have a defense that the lease, well, I got a turnover lease where they said lease was terminated before the petition was filed. And so that's totally different.
I agree. I hope the turnover claim is not the only claim that ends up in that complaint, right?